It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, and all over Western Pennsylvania, especially if you're out in Westmoreland County, which is where Kaboom is getting ready for another day of Stellar's training camp. They'll see if they can get ahead of the Doppler again today, which they kind of failed at yesterday. But welcome into Kabali and Matt. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. Hope it's been a good weekend for you so far. Yeah, we're doing a weekend edition of the show. It is Saturday, July 26th, officially day three of Steelers training camp, and they are supposed to practice later this afternoon. We'll see if that happens or not. Make sure you're following along with everything on all the social media, at Kabali and Mac on Facebook, TikTok, X. Of course, you're watching the show on X. There's a good chance. On Instagram as well, if you're one of the first 500 followers to the Kabali and Mac account on Instagram, you'll be in the running for that $100 Yoli's gift certificate, Yoli's Cucina and Craft House. Beautiful place in Jefferson Hills, a couple minutes from our houses, and great food. So if you live in the area, you'd obviously like to win that and take the family to a nice dinner. And of course, if you're one of the first 2,500 subscribers on YouTube, you'll be in the running for that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. They scored one run in 11 innings last night, Kaboom. I saw you were mad about that.
Yeah, I watched it. Still, I hate extra innings. So I wish they would both. They should do like the NHL does, give them an overtime loss point. Maybe that'd be better. But what a dumb rule.
Is that all the baseball steam you got to get out of your system today?
Well, I deleted my SMP 360 app, so I'm very happy with that.
So life is better for you now? You're not just getting the spinning wheel?
I know. I just deleted it. I canceled it. Is that what you call it? Canceled. Buccos. Yeah, they were on the old Sharky's television last night, and there wasn't much to watch. And put it this way, you're in Sharky's, and they have the Texas Rangers game more. That and Shark Week more prominently displayed than the Pirates, and I don't blame them.
Shark Week makes sense. Thanks to the Dan Heck team for supporting the show. HeckTeamHomes.com, HAECK. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They're the key to your next door. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia, the whole team waiting to help you get into a beautiful new home, whether you're moving up to, I don't know, deluxe penthouse in the sky high, like George and Wheezy. Maybe you want to move to Kabali's neighborhood. Maybe you're downsizing. I don't know. Maybe you want to move out to Latrobe to be closer to St. Vincent College and Steelers training camp. Wherever you're looking to move, they're there to help you. The Dan Heck team, HeckTeamHomes.com. Check them out, and they will take care of you. We appreciate them for their support of the show here on Kabali and Mac. The first thing we have to address here, Kaboom, is that you had some serious doubts about something that was said a couple days ago. You had some doubts that Calvin Austin III had actually never been to the ocean, as Aaron Rodgers said in his first media availability of training camp the other day. And Calvin Austin III is here to confirm that, in fact, he had never been in the ocean like that before.
Playing with you, or is that a fact?
I have not seen the ocean in that type of like setting like that and really like been in it. So that's why I was saying when we went out there, like that was like the football, of course, is going to be, you know, cool and all, but like just seeing that, experiencing all that with the guys was cool.
Yeah, we'll get to the serious stuff like seven shots and Chuck Clark being signed and Pat Freiermuth talking about the offense, Jack Sawyer talking about making an impact in the pass rush. Yeah, we'll get to all the good stuff in a second. But first, I think you owe Calvin Austin III an apology, Kaboom.
He said in a setting like that.
He said he hadn't been in the ocean before.
In a setting, that means he didn't run in there like, what's his name? Keanu Reeves in
Point Break.
Point Break. He never ran into it, but I'm sure he's seen it before. But, you know, some people are just not water people. I'm not a water person, so, you know, I'm not sitting here ripping on the guy, because even if I go to the beach, I wouldn't go anywhere near that ocean.
You spent the whole day at that Hershey Water Park, not even going in the water a couple weeks ago, right?
That place is full of disease.
You know what I had a doctor tell me yesterday, in fact, because I took my kid to get his ears checked out because they've been bothering him and we're going on vacation tomorrow.
Boy, he said, wait till the last minute.
No, he's been like four times in the last 2 weeks. My wife's freaking out. But anyway, here nor there. the doctor was like, you know what? You're swimming in neighborhood pools, like your neighbor's house or even your pool. He's like, you don't have nearly the amount of chemicals in there that they put in these public pools or resort pools or whatever it may be. You're never going to get anything from those. There's too much chlorine in those things. Those like sandcastle places like that. I know we think it's nasty because there's so many people in the water and like Band-Aids float up to you and you're like, ew. But there's so much chlorine in those things. Doc said, hey, you're probably safer in that.
Yeah, safer just bathing in a bath of chlorine.
Chlorine and baby piss.
You ever see that? I'm always fascinated when people like rehab their pools and it's like green and algae and all this crap. And yeah, they throw a couple buckets of stuff in there and all of a sudden it's crystal clear. And you're like,
it's magic, isn't it?
Around in your mouth, spitting it out like that, you know, up through the nose. I'm like, about a couple hours ago, this thing was like something that a frog wouldn't even get into.
That's why you're not a water person.
Hey, I got a frog in my house. He's about this big.
Wait, you have a frog?
He was in my yard the other day. I thought it was a rock until he started moving.
Was it a frog or a toad? There's a difference.
You know, I didn't ask him.
We have little ones like that in the rocks around the pool. Little baby toads, they hop around all the time.
Where do they end up going? Being food?
Probably. Or yeah. I don't know. It's like Wild Kingdom in our backyard. There's rabbits running around. There's deer eating our tomato plants. It's just a disaster.
I got some spray to put on my pepper plant, and it smells like dead, rotten meat.
That's great.
How does that taste? It's a deer repellent, dead, rotten meat smell. It's disgusting.
If you'd like to have a better looking yard than either of ours, get in touch with Southwest Greens. SouthwestGreensPA.com. Go check out there everything they can do, whether it's just a small little corner of your yard. Maybe you want to have a little area where you're a golfer. You like to putt. You want to practice. They can do that. It would be beautiful. They could do an area around your kid's play set. Maybe an area around the fire pit. Maybe an area around your pool. Maybe the whole damn yard, whatever you're looking for. Have the best looking yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. Southwest Greens. Check them out. SouthwestGreensPA.com. A beautiful artificial surface to upgrade your lawn so it's looking better than either mine or Kaboom's. That's for damn sure. Okay. As for the actual football. They only practiced for like 25 minutes yesterday because they got out there and the clouds and the storm started to roll in. They didn't, like I said, get ahead of the Doppler, which may be my new favorite phrase at camp.
It barely rained. It was just lightning. And they cleared the stands and said, there's a storm 8 miles from here. Everybody out. Then they just went up. And I don't know if it barely rained until later in the night. But it was all the lightning. They're afraid of the lightning. Hey, but here's the thing. When you decide to hold practice in the middle of the summer, it's 3 o'clock. Guess what tends to happen around that time?
Afternoon thunderstorms.
So you're going to have to deal with Doppler a lot.
Yeah, that's you got to get ahead of it, like Mike Tomlin would say. They still got the 7 shots drill in from down near the goal line. The only thing I noticed, because I didn't watch it, I didn't go find the videos that people shot from the stands. I just read a quick recap of what they did on each player, what the outcome was. Not surprisingly, Rodgers targeted DK a couple times down there. Pat Freiermuth caught a touchdown. There was a bad snap to start the thing, so they kind of reset the drill. But other than that, nothing remarkable I didn't notice.
Well, when you start, that's your first 7 shots of training camp.
Right.
Obviously, they wanted to get the connection down with DK and Aaron Rodgers, and that was evident from the start there. But the offense looked good in general. I think they had 4 or 5 touchdowns, if I recall. I think Will Howard even had one. Wow. So it was a good start. I think Aaron Rodgers looked a lot better today and yesterday in game day two rather than day one. Sort of like seems like he's ramping it up. But they didn't have much after that. It was only going to go till 3:30, and they might have cleared the field at 3:05. They might have had 2 periods left. But they got some live drills in. That's probably their only live type of drill they've had so far. So it was a good start. You see the talent, man. You see what they're going to be looking for in the end zone. you get it to the big man. You're not going to, when I say big man, he's a big man. He's going to have a multitude of different ways to get defenders off him to get a touchdown. And we just saw that a little bit yesterday.
DK caught one. They tried DK on another one that I guess missed. Porter was in coverage on that one. Mason got a couple reps on the seven shots, completed one, incomplete on the other. Same with Will Howard, as you mentioned, although the recap I read said it was a great catch by J.J. Galbraith.
Oh, that guy, you know what? You got to keep an eye on him. And he's a guy that you really notice during mini camp and the first day or two. That's how you continue to tell who's, I guess, you know, standing out because he's noticeable. You're not looking for J.J. Galbraith, right?
Well, he's the fifth of five tight ends on the roster, right?
So all of a sudden you're like, who's 87? Then the next day, who's 87? Boy, 87 made them a nice play. Then all of a sudden you realize this guy's pretty good. I don't know if he can make the 53, man, but he's definitely a practice squad eligible type of guy. But they like him, so he does have some talent.
Well, this is one of the advantages, I guess, if you're a guy further down the depth chart of somebody like Jonnu Smith, not really running in any team drills yet, just doing stuff on the side, not even really even taking part in individual drills with the tight ends yet, just catching off the jugs machine, is you're going to get some reps, even if it's with the third team and with the rookie quarterback. And if you make the most of it, then people like you and I and people in the stands and people sitting there watching it are going to take note of it. And this is the kind of guy that training camp and preseason games are for. Like Freiermuth, Jonnu, even Darnell Washington. They don't need to go out there and prove anything necessarily during training camp and preseason games. They're going to make the team. Now, once we get in the regular season, obviously, we've talked about Darnell before. He's got something to prove in the final year of a rookie deal. But, you know, they've got camp and preseason games. A bulk of the reps, especially in the games, are going to go to those fourth and fifth team guys who, like you said, are trying to make the practice squad.
Yeah, but in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. We're talking about fourth and fifth receivers here, tight ends. I mean, I'm much more worried about what Jonnu and Freiermuth and, you know, Darius Slay is doing then.
J.J. Galbraith is the kind of guy that catches a late touchdown pass in the end of a fourth quarter in a preseason game against Jacksonville or Atlanta, and you go, oh, okay.
I mean, there's only so many times you could find a James Harrison story, right, where he comes out of obscurity and becomes a potential Hall of Famer. Everybody thinks that, hey, who's that next guy? You hear names all the time during this setting, and they are what they are, man. They're lower level roster guys. So you try, I mean, you pay, keep an eye on them, but you don't really give too much thought to them. Because, like I said, what's the best case scenario for J.J. Galbraith?
Make the practice squad.
Make the practice squad, maybe make the roster, maybe play on an occasional third down if somebody's hurt. I mean, that's not going to win you any games.
No. This year. You're the one that brought him up the other day. Well, when I saw that recap from somebody on Twitter, I thought I'd bring it up because I know you're a big Galbraith fan.
He looks good. He looks like he belongs. And there's some guys that look like they don't belong, right? He looks like he belongs. He's an NFL roster capable player. But sometimes we take that to the extreme of saying, keep an eye out on this guy. He's going to push Connor Hayward. No. If he makes the practice squad, that's good.
Somebody wanted to know, how's Will Howard looked?
Will Howard. You know, what was that commercial back in the day for the trip? How's the guys look? Big and sweaty. Jerry the Baller said that, right? No, Howard doesn't look so big and sweaty. He's getting his third, in between third and fourth team reps. Once again, we had two short practices and one was abbreviated, so
not a lot of reps to go around.
Yeah, there's a handful here and there. There hasn't been a live hitting, so it's hard to make a determination on how he's looked. He's thrown the ball, and when there's not pressure on him, he's being able to make some completions. And once again, they're not even trying to go down the field yet. They're doing a lot of underneath stuff early in camp. They're going to ramp up to that, so it'd be premature to say he looks good or bad.
If you're still getting ready to head out on vacation or go to the pool like we were talking about earlier, or just spend time outside this summer, there's a good chance you may have someone in your life who wants to make sure their nails look good. Check out Nail Studio, too. We appreciate them supporting the show. Out in McMurray, Peters Township area, they are right there in Lakeview Square on 19 next to Juniper Grill and do great work. And you can book everything online, too. So you want to get somebody a gift certificate, gift card, you could stop in and do it. They can book their time online then at nailstudio2.com. That's a Roman numeral, too. So nailstudioii.com. And check them out on Instagram at Nail Studio McMurray to see the kind of work that they do. Even if you're into getting the toes taken care of, and ain't no shame in that game. Get your toes taken care of, get a little pedicure action. That's all right. Or you know somebody that wants to get their nails done for the beach, for the pool, for the rest of the summer. By all means, the people to go check out are at Nail Studio 2 in McMurray and Peters Township. It's a busy time of year for them. So make sure, like I said, you get online and book ahead of time at Nail Studio 2, Roman numeral 2, Nail Studio 2. .com. Got to thank them for supporting the show as well. So I don't want to say it flew under the radar because we've been talking about adding someone at this position for a while, but they went out and they added someone at safety. And it's someone who has some history with somebody who's already at that position in the secondary. This clip is from, God, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago when Chuck Clark was in Baltimore. But Deshaun Elliott was also in Baltimore, and he was asked about working together with Elliott.
Me and Sean, we communicate really good out there on the field together, and he has a high motor, a lot of energy, a lot of aggression out there on the field. And, you know, when we out there paired together, when we out there, we gel together smooth. And it's been like that in the past, you know, when we've been out there running with the twos before we stepped into our role as starters, so we know how each other plays.
Chuck Clark a couple years ago in Baltimore when he was playing next to Deshaun Elliott in that secondary, and now there's the chance he'll be next to Deshaun Elliott in this secondary. Also, I would imagine maybe some connections to Tomlin because he's down from around that area, Virginia Beach, Hampton Roads, that area. So a lot of positive reviews about this guy before he comes in. He's been a starter for multiple years before, but wasn't in camp with anybody, I don't think. Did he play for the Jets last year? I think it was. And another guy that strikes me is not like your typical center field free safety kind of guy, but more of a hybrid safety who can play up high, but can also come down into the box and make some plays.
Yeah. I mean, he's out there. You need to upgrade at that position, or at least depth at that position. Because yeah. Right now their second team, you're looking at two Killebrew. Killebrew and the undrafted guy.
Castro?
Yeah, Fidel. Fidel Castro.
Sebastian, stop it. Sebastian Castro.
Oh, so Sebastian
Castro. From Iowa.
Sebastian Castro does have some burst, so it's a little bit noticeable.
Hey, Iowa's produced a lot of secondary guys to the NFL level the last few years.
Yeah. And interesting enough, I met Chuck Clark's football mom from the Hampton Roads area last night, and she's showing me all these pictures of him when he was a kid and says, you want me to send you this picture so you can show him? I'm like, that'd be a little bit creepy there, ma'am. I'll just say that I met you. You know, she was in town as well, and she obviously spoke glowingly of him, of the type of person he is and the personality he is. And so he's a good guy. Once again, you're adding good people to the locker room, you know,
experience, depth, and another guy who's been with as a part of the Ravens program.
Forget that. I'm talking about a guy who's not a dick. That's what I'm talking about. They're just adding nice, you know, good,
nice humans,
you know, good human. The locker room is squeaky clean right now, man. I mean, one of the personnel people, coaches said, hey, is there anybody out there that looks like they're going to be, you know, sort of
problem,
the next problem? I'm like, we haven't really come up with one yet, you know? I mean, you could have the whole 2 years ago, you could have a whole bucket list full of people that were clowns. It's not that much anymore. I mean, you're going to fault Deshaun Elliott for speaking his mind? No.
No.
Juan Thornhill for trying to win a job? No. I mean, so I think he just adds to it, gives him more of an option. And I'm sure Patrick Queen has some good things to say about him, too, because he played with him 2 years ago, I believe. Maybe.
Yeah, 2-3 years ago in Baltimore. I don't want to say it's starting to feel like the defensive line, because we've talked about it before. They've got like 16 defensive linemen in camp. And you kind of alluded that other than Hayward, Benton, and Harmon, it kind of feels like they're just throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks. Yeah. I mean, they know who they want to play in the secondary. They obviously know who the three starters at corner are going to be. They know they want Elliott to be on the field. And then I would say, you know, Thornhill is going to be a pretty decent part of the mix. But after that, it kind of does start to feel like, hey, let's just throw stuff at the wall, see who sticks, who wins the jobs, and who we have to stick
competition.
Around.
Competition. That's all you hear, competition. We want competition. We want competition. And that's what they're providing it, you know, the back half of the secondary with depth, and that's what they're doing at the defensive line position. And if you want the job, go win it. That's their belief in certain areas, especially when they don't have a deep, talented group that you have to be able to weed them out somehow. And that's their plan, just to see, hey, you want a chance to win, let's see what you got. You know, two dogs, one bone, right?
Exactly. Speaking of safety and the former Steelers safety, this was reported this morning that Minkah Fitzpatrick has hired a new agent. He's hired Drew Rosenhaus and is already looking for a new contract. He's got 2 years and $33 million left on the extension he signed a few years ago. So Minkah already making friends and influencing people in South Florida.
Boy, they must hate him. They wanted out of there 2-3 years ago, and now he's already wanting more money as soon as he gets there. So I don't think this has anything to do with why they got rid of him. I think that they already made that belief that they weren't going to re-sign him next year. And I think that they may have come up with a different plan of – well, I think they've over-evaluated – what a safety position means right now. They're going, you know, they went right, now they're going left. And that, what I mean by that is they're using Jalen Ramsey in that position of the hybrid type of guy that can do stuff that Minkah couldn't do, even though Minkah was really, really good. He's not going to be your traditional safety, but he can play back there. He could play corner. He could play slot. So I think they much, much rather have a guy like that then they would make it where you pretty much could take him out of the game at any time. So I don't think that would have anything to do with it. But if you're Minkah, what are you, 30, 29, 30?
Yeah.
You probably want to try to get your money now. And if anybody's going to do it, Mr. Miami Drew is going to be the guy.
For you. Sticking on the defensive side of the ball, I saw Jack Sawyer talk the other day. It's one of the things we didn't really get to talk about. Yeah, our neighbor, Jack Sawyer. We won't give out any more details than that. It was interesting. One of the first things he was asked about, obviously, is his pass rush ability and whether he thinks that might be able to get him on the field. Was also asked about just what he expects from what's known as a physical training camp in La Trobe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, at my position, you know, pass rushing is a premium. So, you know, I got two great guys to learn from, even, you know, Nick Herbig, too. So, I feel like I'm in a great spot, and you know I'm confident in the tools that I have, the pass rush. So I'm looking forward to learning as much as I can and putting my talents on display.
What have you heard about the physical nature of this camp, and what are you looking forward to most about being in an environment like that this soon?
Yeah, I heard that it's, you know, it's kind of old school, which is nice. You know, I like to think of myself as like an old school type of player too. So you know, knowing that I'm coming to camp and we're gonna put the pads on, we're gonna get after it. For me, it's something that I wanted. You know what I mean? We're not gonna dance around, you know, with shoulder pads and helmets on. We're gonna play real football. So. For me, that's what, you know, I'm looking forward to and, you know, happy to be expecting that.
I'm going to make a bold prediction about Jack Sawyer. He's going to make an immediate impact on defense. Immediate. Like, he's not going to take anybody's job, and he's not going to get a ton of snaps. But when he gets in there, it's going to be like when Harbig got in there right off the bat and was able to maximize his ability to cause disruption and chaos when he does get into the game. Like, I anticipate him, again, not getting a ton of snaps, but they want to keep TJ and Alex Highsmith fresh, right, for later in the year. TJ even talked about that during his press conference a couple days ago. They want to keep those guys fresh for later in games and later in the year. I think Sawyer's just going to – I think he's going to come in and make an immediate impact in pass rush, and he's already endearing himself to Steelers fans by talking about how much he loves the physical nature of training.
Yeah, I mean, that was what you call the old layup right there. You're going to say something about physical football to Jack Sawyer? He's like – absolutely, that's me, man. He got the old huge neck, I wonder if he does the old
he's the kind of guy that back in the late 80s early 90s would have had a big ass neck roll, maybe not the Brian Cox one, but like the
Brian Cox one was a wimp one. We're talking about those little white top,
the big fat in the back that kind of wraps around and still right here on the collarbone.
Kind of disappointed people don't wear those anymore.
They were badass, man. Who didn't want to have a big role if they were playing linebacker back in the day?
They put one on Zach Banner one time. It was included into the shoulder pads, and it was like he was so upset because he said it looked bad. I said, you should go back into the 80s and see what those neck rolls look like. In like junior high, when it was like an award, almost the people that had the neck rolls on meant you're a badass.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Everybody wanted a neck roll, and
not everybody guys, got it. Only
no equipment guys would look at you and be like, "You don't need a neck roll. Get the hell out of here." Like, no, but I want one. Tough.
Yeah, Jack Sawyer is like laughing at that, but you know where Jack Sawyer is going to shine in the preseason too, because he's going to get a lot of reps. He's going to make some plays. Then we're going to say, oh, he should be out there. They should never traded for or signed TJ Watt. I just realized the other day, and I probably shouldn't have, that Nick Herbig's only 23 years old.
Jeez.
Seems like he should be about 27 right now.
Feels like he's been here forever.
Yeah, they got the – that's why I think they're going to lead the league in sacks. They're going to get back to that.
Imagine being an offensive tackle and – you're out there battling TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith all day, and now they're moving Watt around and flipping formations and all that. And you're like, oh, thank God those guys are jogging off the field. And then Sawyer and Herbig come in. It's like, Jesus, now I got to deal with these two. Like, that's invaluable. We've been talking about depth at other positions, like safety and wide receiver and all that, but like to have the depth they do at edge and just to be able to constantly come in waves from those spots at the quarterback is key to what they want to do this year. Like we talked about the other day, they want to play man in the secondary and they want to get after the quarterback.
Yeah, that's conducive. And they want to move TJ around, which they did a whole hell of a lot yesterday. Again, he was coming from different angles left and right. I don't know if you heard about the old Calvin Austin long touchdown or long catch yesterday, right?
I didn't. Oh, yeah, I did. I saw a clip of it somewhere. I saw him catch one and kind of break away from Slay, I think.
That's all nice and good, and fans are cheering. Meanwhile, TJ Watt did his little jump kick, crane kick, in the direction of Aaron Rodgers, making him well aware that he wouldn't have gotten that pass off as if it was live football. So the pass rush was there. When you had him moving from side to side, and you can't get away with those quick throws the team seemed to beat him with. We're painting the perfect picture right now. Yeah. I mean, there are flaws that can be exposed here, and we all know it. But it seems like that core group, it seems like, once again, they have a plan, a different plan. They're moving forward with that plan. They're not just sitting back and saying, okay, we're just going to be, say we're a man coverage team and we're really a zone coverage team. We can't move TJ around because he doesn't want to. At least they are trying different stuff. And I think that's it's very important of this time of the year. And in the years past, maybe they wouldn't be doing it. Now they are.
I'm curious to see, and I've been thinking about this really since Herbig started to make an impact. There's got to be a way to get three of them out there on the field at the same time. And of them, I mean the edge rushers. I know that's difficult, but there's got to be a scheme you can cook up where the offensive line hasn't seen it before, the quarterback hasn't seen it before, and they look up and they go, okay, Watt, Highsmith, wait, shit, Herbig's, what's going on? Like, you could do that with two down linemen an inside backer, whether it's Queen or Wilson, and still put three edge rushers on the field at the same time and maybe stack two of them up on one side of the formation. And then you still got your five in the secondary. I mean, I know that's probably difficult to cook up on the fly, but I would like to think that they're working on ways to throw another wrinkle into things, and that would be a hell of a wrinkle.
Yeah. I mean, the options are unlimited right now. That's what makes this so unique, that you have that options of, I mean, we're just seeing basic stuff from Ramsey right now, moving all over the place, but you would have to imagine just the rest of the secondary is going to be forced to be able to play different positions. I mean, there might be times where Joey Porter has to go into the slot or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we just haven't seen that yet. And now I think a lot of this is now up to the coaching staff to being able to develop a scheme to be able to get all this to work. So I think the defense is going to be a lot better this year than it has in the past. I mean,
just got to stop Wilson, the run.
Peyton Wilson
got to stop the run.
Yeah. But they're going to stop the run. You do got Peyton Wilson, who's should be a lot better this year. And you got Deshaun Elliott, who is a pretty sure tackler. But I agree. I mean, Benton's going to have to play well. Hayward's going to have to play well. They're going to have to find a couple other guys along that defensive line as well. I just worry if they other teams can scheme them out of what they want to do. You know, but that's from a month from now. You know, if you're going four wide receivers and forcing, you know, defense and then being able to run it up the middle like Baltimore, I mean, do you have an answer for that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many teams are able to run it like Baltimore, though, not just because of Henry, but because you've got the read option possibility with Jackson. I mean, obviously there's other teams that can run the ball. I just don't know how many can do it from that light a formation that Baltimore is able to do it from. I don't know. It's something, like you said, to keep an eye on when we start to roll towards the regular season. Thanks to our friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the program. It's damned hot out there, and you don't want to be hot in your house. So if the AC is not working quite the way it should, not working at all, you think something needs to be taken care of, get a hold of them. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or just give them a call, 412-297-1852. They'll come on out. They'll take a look. They'll tell you whether it's just a minor fix, a repair, a maintenance issue, or maybe you need the whole system replaced. Nobody wants to have to do that, but if you have to do it, especially this time of year, Impact HVAC are the people to get a hold of. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook, or again, 412-297-1852. We appreciate them supporting the show. So our buddy Pat Freiermuth, I'll get to the other Pat in a minute. Pat Freiermuth talked to the media the other day as well, and was just asked about welcoming Jonnu Smith to the team the way he did and how he anticipates working with him this year.
I think we're going to work really well together. I think he brings a different skill set than I do, and I think we're going to complement each other really well. He's going to complement the whole tight end room really well, and I'm excited about the possibilities of 12 personnel. You know, Arthur, you know, sat down with me and showed me, you know, what he was thinking and stuff, and so I'm very excited. You know, and I think it will be a big year for both of us.
So here we are back to talking about formations and personnel groupings, 12 personnel. Muth brings it up and says he's talked to Arthur about it. I mean, you don't go out and get Jonnu Smith and then not play him. So I find it hard to believe that they're not going to have at least two of those guys on the field. Maybe not at all times, but most of the time. The starting 11, if we had to pick it out of a hat, or not out of a hat, but just guess names here. Like DK, obviously, we know the offensive line. We know the quarterback. We know the running back is going to be one of Warren or eventually Caleb Johnson. And we know Muth and Jonnu are going to be the tight ends. And then it's just a question of whoever the other receiver is, whether it's Calvin Austin, Roman Wilson, Robert Woods, whatever. They're going to be in 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends, as Pat just mentioned there. I mean, it's going to feel like 90% of the time. Like, they don't have the personnel to run with too many wide receivers. And knowing what Arthur Smith wants to do, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 13 personnel in there as well. One back, three tight ends, a good amount of time.
Yeah, they're going to use both of those guys. That's probably why they're not so interested in acquiring another wide receiver right now. I mean, they do view Jonnu Smith as a sort of a wide receiver-ish. I mean, Freiermuth up there too. The problem is even though you're looking at a tight end like Smith, Freiermuth, and Metcalf, those are not really deep ball capable guys. They can do it, of course, but nothing like, you know, some of the elites in the league. That's why I think Calvin Austin becomes very important, because he can take the top off the defense, right?
Lift the lid.
He can do that. So maybe that's what you need. Maybe that's their thought of process right now. They need somebody to get down the field. And I don't care if he's 5'9", he runs a 4.2. He can get by people that open up stuff up underneath. So I don't know how interested they are in wide receiver, but they're going to use – I mean, you're right. You don't acquire John Smith. You don't have Pat Freiermuth under contract if you're not going to use them. They both should be on the field. Like you said, 12 personnel, they should be on there for a good portion of the play. I mean, it presents a matchup problem. You go in safety, you go in linebacker on Jonnu. Which one are you doing? If you're going big on somebody, then maybe you can throw the ball. If you go small, then you maybe could be able to run the ball. So, I keep saying, it seems like they've really worked out a plan. It's now executing that plan.
I thought it was interesting that Pat mentioned his ability to run like the choice routes and the option routes underneath.
So he's saying he's smart and everybody else is dumb.
No, why are you putting words in Freiermuth's mouth?
I was standing right there and he was darting me left or right, so I can get darting back right there.
But he mentioned that alongside Jonnu's ability to kind of stretch the field a little bit. I mean, I'd like to think they can both do both, and I'm sure they can. But like that's I said it when we originally talked about having the weapons at their disposal that they have, like when they went out and got Jonnu Smith, or when we were even talking about Darnell Washington as the second tight end, like the ability to challenge safeties in the middle of the field, or like you said, a backer gets stuck covering one of these guys and then open things up underneath. I mean, when's the last time we saw this offense effectively use the intermediate middle of the field in the pass game? I mean, it's been years.
Well, it wasn't last year because the quarterback wasn't tall enough and the other one couldn't throw it. Trubisky, I'd probably eliminated that from my mind, the Trubisky era.
But so, do you remember how excited we would get when Kenny Pickett would complete a pass to a tight end 12 yards downfield?
And I don't care if it's across the middle. Just throw it to the tight end. You know, I mean, that's the bottom. I'd probably send back to them to the Ben days. Even earlier Ben days, because the tight end, probably the Heath days. I mean, what was after Heath? Ebron, he was good at times, but for so frequently. Well, Darius Green, I don't even know if he played, did he?
Did he ever actually even play a game? I was going to ask.
I'd have. So you really didn't have a ton of options at Freiermuth early in his career. You can see that's why Roethlisberger always speaks glowingly of Freiermuth and vice versa, is because that rookie season, Ben finally got somebody he could throw the ball to as a tight end, like the Heath type of situation, and he really enjoyed that. So, yeah, it's just a part of it. I mean, but let's not kid ourselves here. We can go around this roster and pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
But we know what it is. The quarterback stinks, they're going to stink. If the quarterback's good, they're going to be good. I think it is as simple as that.
What if the quarterback is just good enough? Like, what if it's Goldilocks? It's not too hot. It's not too cold.
It's fine. Then you put into the experience, what plays are he making in what situations, right? I saw that stat the other day of fourth quarter comebacks, and I was kind of stunned how few Rodgers has had. I think it's only like 23, 24. That's surprising to me. I thought he'd have much more than that. A guy like Kirk Cousins got more than him.
Wow. If you're not playing from behind, you don't have to have a lot of fourth quarter comebacks.
True. It's going to a lot's going to be on his Aaron Rodgers. Plus, which, if you take a step back, then a lot was on the offensive line. You take one more step back, and a lot was on Broderick Jones.
Well, there but we go. Look at you. Did you do that on purpose because you saw this question in the chat?
Jason Jones.
Yeah.
Jason How's Jones Broderick? He's at the beach with Calvin Austin in that picture.
He wants to know how Broderick's looking so far and how long a leash he gets, because Steelers culture would traditionally say a long one, but with Rodgers back there and just a one-year window to go for it, you can't lose games on that side of the ball.
Yeah. I mean, somebody brought up a question to me yesterday. Would they ever be interested in moving Fautanu to the left side and, you know, putting somebody else on the right side or just flipping them? I don't think that would happen this year. I think they're going to give Broderick Jones every opportunity in the world to win this job, not win this job, to just play. So how he's looked, talked to me on Tuesday and Wednesday when they put the pads on. He's had some, I know one play, I don't know if it was yesterday or probably the first day, he looked like a human turnstile. I don't know if it was his fault.
Well, we just talked up the pass rushers 10 minutes ago. So, I mean, was it TJ Watt getting past them? I mean,
I don't remember who it was. But I just remember saying, who was that? 77. That wasn't good. But
that is one quick way to blow this whole thing up. I mean, if the offensive line can't pass block for Rodgers, which I'm pretty confident in at least 3/5 of that offensive line, if not 80% of it, even though we haven't seen a lot yet from Fautanu. If Jones falls apart on the left edge and Rodgers is running for his life, that blows everything up real quick.
But, you know, as long as Fautanu can play on an island on that side, there's always options. You could always chip. You can always put the tight end over on that side to help him out in some regard. Now, if you have both of them struggling, then, you know,
then you're screwed.
You can't really do that. So, yeah, it's huge. I mean, maybe Aaron Rodgers is the most important person on this team right now. But I would say that Broderick Jones is maybe number two. Because he can either make that offensive line a top 10, top 12 offensive line, or he can make him one of the worst.
Yeah.
He's the linchpin, man. You pull that sucker out, and it could all collapse on top of itself.
Well, that's good. We just talked. We were talking all kinds of good, positive things, and now I'm gonna wander off into the rest of my weekend and my vacation worrying about Broderick Jones.
If you're worrying about Broderick Jones on your vacation, you need some help.
That's fair. So Tuesday, you mentioned it. They're gonna get the pads on. It's gonna be backs and backers.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's the modern day Oklahoma drill, right? Because they don't do Oklahomas anymore. I don't know who I'm most. I don't know who I'm most excited to see pair up. Do you have a matchup you really want to see?
Oh yeah, I want to see Jack Sawyer, right?
Against anybody?
To see Jack Sawyer versus Darnell Washington.
Oh dear God.
Oh, that would be nice. Because Darnell Washington is a guy. He just replaces people. Last year I saw him, he'd be blocking a guy, be like, man, I don't want you here. I want you here. And it'd be like, boom. It's like, okay, I'm done.
Just forklift guys.
I mean, it's like, okay. Darnell Washington puts people where he wants to put them at. I like to see that. I like to see Caleb Johnson because I think he's actually pretty interested in this drill. And I always
Caleb Johnson against Jack Sawyer, a little Big Ten on Big Ten action.
Like Mark Robinson, some of those veteran linebackers like to skirt the rules from time to time, as in, you know, some bull rushes and some, they know what's going on. So they like to say welcome to the NFL and in that regard. With running back wise, I mean, Jalen Warren's a guy, too. He'll knock your head off.
Yeah.
That's one thing that this running back crew does have. They got, first of all, Jaylen Warren is an elite pass rusher, pass blocker. Caleb Johnson is a tireless worker at getting better at pass blocking. Now, I don't know about Trey Sermon. I don't know about Kenny Gainwell, but I don't really care at this point either with those two. But I'd like to see Darnell Washington.
What about your guy, Ross Tucker's guy, the Notre Dame guy, Max Hurdleman?
Max Hurdleman is looking good already.
What if he's got to stand in there against a Patrick Queen or a Jack Sawyer?
You know, I would like my chances of a Max Hurdleman because not too many people leave Colgate to go to Notre Dame and become a punt returner and become a star. So,
is Cordarrelle Patterson still alive? Has he been around?
They are hiding the hell out of him. I don't know if he's doing the hold in. They're giving us a lot of freaking mumbo jumbo, and I don't believe any of it. I think they're just holding on to him just to maybe use him as a piece to move him, a trade piece potentially. You guys need a kick returner August 30th? I think we got the best one ever to play. I don't think he's going to be there. I saw him briefly at minicamp. He was just like in and out. He wasn't practicing all. Here they're like, oh, he's dealing with some stuff. I don't buy it. I could be wrong, but I don't buy it. I just don't think he knows that he's not going to be a future of this team. And he's like, why am I going to get hurt for this? Call me when you trade me. If not, nobody can explain to me why he's on the roster.
I haven't even heard his name mentioned.
But think about it. Think about it, though. August 30th comes along, and they're like, man, we have no kick returner. Oh, the Steelers are getting rid of Cordero? Okay, why not? Let's give him a call. That's the only rational possibility I can think of. This is just me thinking. I don't know this.
Dangerous, Kaboom.
I don't know this, but why else would he be on the roster? $3 million?
Yeah, I mean, that has to be it. Or just in case somebody gets hurt, right? Like, that's...
But who?
I don't know.
Like six Gainwell? Returners. Are we talking about? He hasn't played wide receiver for like 6 years.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, but his name just popped into my head because we were talking about all the running backs.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I could possibly think of.
So backs on backers on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, Pat McAfee and the boys will be live from St. Vincent College in Latrobe for Steelers training camp. I imagine you may be prominently featured, Kaboom.
I doubt that.
Oh, come on. They're at Steelers training camp. They're not going to have you on?
Well, let's think here a little bit. Aaron Rodgers, Mike Tomlin, Cam Hayward, Omar Khan, and me.
Yeah.
Which one doesn't belong? Right?
They got to have you on. Come on. They can't get all the big names on the show in the same day.
Let's hope not.
Make room for the Kaboom.
I'll probably fall off the chair or something.
Why do you anticipate the worst all the time?
Well, look what happened yesterday. Some lady had a seizure on the sidelines, and Terrell Austin comes over and says, oh, I thought that was you who passed out. Like, no, thanks, Terrell. Why would me come to your mind first?
I don't know. That's like a little bit of a dart.
Like the 900-pound dudes like sitting in the stands over there on the chair because they can't walk around, and you think I'm the one that passed out.
All right.
Although we got two acquaintances. We got an acquaintance together. He's a big Arch fan.
Oh, yeah?
Archie Wings. So
Terrell is.
Anybody who likes the Archie Wing is okay in my book.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to get down there and get some wings from Arch soon. Not in the next week because I'll be on vacation. I'll be back next Saturday.
Thanks for, you know, leaving me in the heat.
Yep. I think you'll be okay. You'll survive.
It's a long stretch, too, because they're going to practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It'll be 6 days in a row.
I'll be back towards the end of that to help you out. Okay, buddy?
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. I got you. In fact, my son wants to come out to camp, I think, the day after we get back. So
Are crazy.
He wants to come out and see it. I've completely warned him about what it's like. And I've told him, like, it's crazy, but he wants to do it. He wants to take his little Steelers mini helmet and try to get some autographs on it. I told him, just be prepared. You know, it's going to be Max Herleman and Spencer Anderson and Scotty Miller signing your helmet.
Better than Pony and Harry Callis and Adam Crowley, right?
That's going to do it for today. I'm going to go on vacation. If anything crazy happens, let me know. I mean, I don't know what the Wi-Fi is like in Punta Cana, but if it's good enough for me to jump on my phone, you know, could always do an emergency pod if necessary.
Direct flight or what?
Yep, direct flight. Leave at 7 a.m. We'll be in the beautiful Dominican Republic by noon.
Boy. I heard rumors that you didn't need to update your passport, that it's all baloney.
No, I'm telling you. If you go on the website, people don't care about this. Dominican Republic website does not tell you you need to, but the U.S. State Department website has been updated to tell you that it has to be valid for at least 6 months from the day you travel. So we weren't taking any chances. We weren't going to show up to the airport and then some, you know, overzealous gate agent be like, oh, I'm sorry, your passport's not valid.
But they'll be like, hey, aren't you part of the Mac podcast?
And I would say no. I don't know Mark Cavalli.
Go right ahead, sir.
I do not claim him. Shouldn't you be at training camp making sure Cavalli doesn't pass out on the sideline?
Craig Cole helps you out there. Says you need your passport, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his expired 6 months from now, so I don't understand that.
I don't make the rules. I just try to follow them so I can actually get on my flight and go on vacation, which I'm going to do in less than 20 hours. Okay. I'm going to go. I'll send you pictures.
You're going to spend like $400 in parking, huh?
Yeah. I hate that part. And then the dog sitter. That's a couple $100. What are you going to do? But I'm going to go enjoy vacation. I'll send you pictures of the pina coladas at the swim up bar. You enjoy St. Vincent College. Tell all the boys from the McAfee show I said hello.
My God.
Enjoy practice today. Man. Stay ahead of the Doppler. Thanks again to the Dan Heck team, heckteamhomes.com, for presenting Cavalli and Mac. We appreciate their support and all of your support. Go follow on Instagram. Maybe win that Yoli's gift certificate. Become a subscriber on YouTube. Maybe win the Paul Skeens autographed baseball. What are you shaking your head at? Is it raining out?
No, at the hotel, I'm saying it's animal friendly. So I'm looking out my window and there's a dog taking a dump right next to my yard, right next to my window. Looks like a golden retriever. I'm looking at him like, what is this? And there's a dog taking a huge dump.
Are you staying at the place where Jay Leno fell over the hill?
No, I'm staying at the old inn, the Mountain View Inn.
Well, enjoy the view.
Huge dump. It's unbelievable.
Offer him some dude wipes.
I got a shout out by dude wipes the other day.
Yeah, you're big time, buddy.
Because the dude wipes mascot was like staring at the
Browns guy. The Cleveland Browns guy who fell off the dock.
What are you doing here? All right.
I'll see you. Enjoy the rest of camp. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, we'll see you, fellas. See ya.